One of the best communicators ever to walk on the face of the earth was a guy by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul. This is episode 437 of The Journey, a conversation on leadership, culture, and creativity. My name is Vidal. See, one of the reasons why Paul is such an amazing communicator is the way that he utilizes symbolism, symbols, and specifically when he conveys messages to his followers, to his disciples, in this case, Timothy. When he spoke to Timothy and tries to convey the importance of prioritizing priorities in life, he uses the symbolism of a military life. He talks about a soldier, that if you're to be a soldier, you're not supposed to be entangled within the civilian affairs, that you're supposed to prioritize by pleasing your superior. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Well, for us, symbols have taken a different meaning in our household. We have three young adults, and all three of them are now driving. So the symbolism of traffic lights and traffic symbols and signage on the road is extremely important for us now, because we hope and we pray that our kids have learned to follow directions, to understand that those symbols, they exist to protect them, not to control them. And specifically, that symbols typically, or signage, what they do is basically they point towards something bigger than the symbol itself. That's exactly what happens with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit typically is represented by the symbol of a dove. But in reality, the person of the Holy Spirit operates and works pointing towards the person of Jesus. And Jesus as a son, through his 33 years of ministry, was designed that ministry to point towards the Father. So it's a concept of submission for the purpose of being in charge. Exaltation under submission, control, or in this case, to have that ability to fulfill a specific task, and the concept of being in submission or subjection, in this case, to something bigger or greater. Well, the person of the Holy Spirit is the one person that we have studied, we navigated, we launch into this doctrine of the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do as we close the series this coming Sunday, we're gonna simply take the conversation into finishing up the concept of this person, this amazing person, this empowerment, this indwelling in the lives of believers. The purpose of this was because it is the Holy Spirit who draws us into salvation. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to come into the person of Jesus, to be forgiven by Jesus, so we can have redemption in our lives. But it is also the Holy Spirit that is going to allow us to behave like Jesus. And that's the concept of the sanctification, the concept of walking in Christ's likeness. See, sometimes I wonder if we fully understand what the word holy means. Well, what does that Christ likeness imply? For many people think that holiness or righteousness is the antidote or the absence of sin. Where we know by experience that although we have been made holy, complete, righteous, we are far away from having the absence of sin. We still struggle with the influence of sin. So what does that word mean? See, going back to symbolism, in the Old Testament, the best way to illustrate holiness or being holy is exactly what God utilizes in the concept of symbolism as he chooses Abraham. He uses the analogy or the symbolism of something called as the circumcision. And in the circumcision, it's basically God telling Abraham, I have selected you, I have chosen, I have appointed you, set you apart for me, for a relationship of intimacy and specifically exclusivity between you and I. But it's pretty obvious with God, and this is across human history, when he chose Abraham to choose many, to choose the world, that chosen, that selection, that setting you apart, is not an endowment. It's not some sort of an entitlement that, it's just for us to perpetuate this mindset of meism. But the first thing that happens, the result of being set apart for God, is that we fully understand that he has boundaries, going back to symbolism, symbols. The setting apart is for something bigger than ourselves. That God chose us, not because of us, but in spite of us. And he chose us the same way that he chose Abraham, that he set apart Abraham, is to choose or set apart others. The question now comes, how does he do that? How does God chooses people to choose others? Well, I believe that the vehicle that he uses to choose others through us is by the way we relate to God and one another. All that I'm saying is this, is that the result of being chosen by God is that He creates and allows us to have the ability to see the boundaries within our relationship with God. And those boundaries, what they reminds us, and again, going back to Abraham, God told Abraham, since I'm choosing you, not because of you, but in spite of you, I'm choosing you, not because of your character, but because of my character, because I am unmovable, unchangeable, immutable. I am the same always. That's why your salvation and the covenant that we're making is eternal, is secure. But that security, that eternality on why you are saved and how you get saved is based on a covenantal experience, on a contract relationship that is not unconditional. It is conditional. And He tells Abraham clearly and the people of God that the same manner, using the symbolism of circumcision, the same manner the circumcision illustrates how I'm setting you apart for me, that same experience of circumcision is an illustration that if you were not to trust, if you were not to obey me, I will set you apart from me. Tragically, we know the history in the Bible, and that happened over and over and over again. I think of illustrations such as Saul, King Saul. I think of multiple scenarios where the God who chose a people to leave Egypt to go into the promised land did not make it because they chose not to trust and obey. They didn't choose to follow through, to understand that the choosing of those lives of that generation was for the purpose to choose many. So for us, when it comes to our scenario today, if we have been chosen, if we have said yes to the gospel, and if we're struggling to set the boundaries of that relationship, we must remember that our salvation is not based on the performance to follow the directions of the boundaries that God has set when it comes to that relationship, that way, that lifestyle. But specifically, this is the beauty of the gospel, that salvation is based on God choosing Jesus, because ultimately that's the reason why He chose Abraham. See, He chose Abraham to choose a family, to choose a nation, to choose some real estate, and eventually to choose the seed of the woman, which is Jesus. And through Jesus, we have now the opportunity to be chosen. But watch this, please. As He has chosen Jesus, this is the reason why Jesus lived on this earth for 33 years. This is why Jesus could not have been born on a Thursday, die on a Friday, and resurrected on a Sunday. Why? Because the 33 years of life of Jesus are the boundaries on how we must reflect the choosing, the unconditional choosing of God reflected on a conditional relationship. Well, that's exactly how we are saved. That's exactly why we are saved. It's not because of our ability to set those boundaries and follow those rules, but it's in spite of our disobedience. This is why our salvation is secure. And this is why the more secure that we feel, the more secure that we are, the more that we choose, the more that we're empowered to understand the conditions of our relationship with God. I think of my relationship with Areli through the symbolism of a wedding band, which I'm not wearing right now because I'm home. But when it comes to a wedding band, it represents, it's a symbolism that I've been chosen and I have chosen an individual, in this case, Areli, for exclusivity, for oneness. Tragically, when divorce takes place, it's also the symbolism, the legality. It's not just symbolic, but it's a legal also experience. It's exactly the opposite. Just as a wedding band tells me that I have been set apart for her, now divorce tells me that I have been set apart from her. Well, again, that is tragic. And sometimes as Christians, that's exactly how we feel. Sometimes people wonder whether they're still saved or not, or they can lose their salvation. They thought they were saved, but now they feel differently. Well, the beauty of this conversation, again, is that it's based on the character and the person of Jesus, that before the creations of the world, God chose Jesus. And the choosing of Jesus implies that eventually God has to not only choose Jesus for Himself, but also He also put Jesus in a situation that He was set apart from God. So through His pain and suffering, we find salvation tonight. My name is Vidal. And I'm so glad that you allowed me to have this conversation with you. I hope you guys have wonderful rest of this weekend. Blessings.